ahead and be seated. If you don't have them open by now, find those Bibles and make your way to Psalm 21. Today is a milestone, if you will, because today we find ourselves halfway through Book 1 of Psalm. So that's the mile marker for you. If you want to know where that fits in the grand scheme of things, well, it only puts us about 14% of the way through the Book of Psalms. And when we consider that when we get to Psalm 119, there's no way Psalm 119 will be one message. Most likely it'll be 22 messages. So we're right at the 12% mark today. So, with that being said, Psalm 21 and Psalm 20 are closely connected together. And in these two chapters, we discover the beautiful truth that, like I said last week, that God is bigger than the enemy that seeks to engage you. In Psalm 20, Israel was under attack. They were facing war. Therefore, the people, they rally behind their king, and together with the king, they petition God for his protection and for his victory. Somewhere between Psalm 20 and Psalm 21, God gave David and Israel the victory that they had prayed for. And so Psalm 21 is a result of that victory. And here the king rejoiced in the strength of the Lord. He rejoiced knowing that his prayers were answered with an overwhelming victory. And David also encouraged by those who were faithful, and he anticipated future victories at the hand of the Lord. So this morning, as we look at Psalm 21, I'd like us to consider a three-step process of how we are to appropriately celebrate the victories in life. And so with that being said, step number one is to rejoice in what God has done. To rejoice in what the Lord has done. Going back to verse 1, it says, O Lord, in your strength the king will be glad, and in your salvation how greatly he will rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. Selah. For you met him with the blessings of good things. You set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life of you, you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you placed upon him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence. You see, David's celebration revolved around God. He confesses that he could not have been victorious on his own or in his own strength. And so David is very careful to clarify that God is the one to receive the credit for the victory. And so he did not offer some thoughtless or general prayer of thanksgiving. Rather, David specifically thanked the Lord. So not only does David in Psalm 20, not only does he pray specifically in Psalm 21, we see that he praises specifically too. I want you to see the connection between what he requested in Psalm 20 to what he acknowledges in Psalm 21. Notice, first of all, he prays for God's strength. In Psalm 20, verse number 6, it says, Now I know the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. So in Psalm 20, verse 6, he confessed that his only hope was in the strength of his God. In Psalm 21, verse 1, he rejoices because God gave him exactly what he needed, and that was his strength. So David recognized that he had not been victorious because of his own doing, but he was victorious because of the strength of his God. And notice how David responds to those victories. He says that he was glad and he rejoices. And the word to be glad means to be brightened, to be cheered. It means to be glad in heart. It is an inner rejoicing. And then to rejoice or to exalt, well, that comes from a Hebrew word that means to twirl or to spin around. And so his inward emotion was matched with his outward expression of praise and glory unto God. David literally danced for joy because of the victory that God had given unto him. And so he praises him specifically for his strength. Then he also praises him for answering his heart's desire. In Psalm verse number 4, the people of Israel had specifically prayed that God would grant their king the desires of his heart. Back in 20 verse 4, it says, "May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel." See, the people knew that their king was a godly man. They knew that their king's desires would be in line with the will of God. Therefore, they had no reservation or any hesitation about making an open-ended request for God to answer the desires and the request of their king. And in Psalm 21, verse number 2, David encourages the people by noting that God had heard and answered that prayer. In verse 2, it says, "You have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips." You see, David could praise the Lord because he could specifically identify specific answers to some of his specific prayers. He didn't talk in general terms. He was very specific in what he prayed for. He was very specific in how he praised his God. He and the nation had asked God for very specific things, and they witnessed as God answered those prayers, giving them exactly what they had asked for. You see, too often I think we're guilty of praying these general, non-specific, undefined prayers. Many people's prayers are relatively thoughtless and effortless. In a real sense, they use a lot of words to not really ask God of anything specifically. They never pray for individuals specifically by name. They never pray for requests specifically by need. Instead, we can find ourselves, if we're not careful, praying generically. Prayers like, "Lord, bless all the people. Lord, heal all the sick. Lord, save all of the lost." These prayers relatively are passionless. I would render highly ineffective. The Bible says that one of the reasons why we do not have is because you do not ask. That's James 4. I'd like for you just to think just a moment about your own personal prayer life. In your prayers before our Heavenly Father, are you asking Him specifically anything? Are you praying specifically for any individual? Are you praying those needs, specifically identifying them and laying them at the feet of the throne of God's grace? Is there any way for you to be able to look back over your prayers and to identify specific answers to those specific prayers? It is extremely important that we lay it all out there in our prayers with God. Yes, we pray specifically, and yes, we pray in accordance to His will to be done. And so if God's will is not to answer our specific prayer in the way that we ask it, then it's for us to understand how He has answered it and for Him to receive the glory in the midst of all of it. So may he be glorified and may he be praised in and through all of our requests that we take unto him. And so in the way we celebrate the victories that we experience in life, first and foremost, we are to look back at what God has done on our behalf, what he has done for us. Then we ought to declare our trust in him for the future victories that lie ahead in life. David's victories in life fortified his faith in his God. David wanted his people, and ultimately David wanted us to know that God is trustworthy. That you can depend upon him. That he will always answer appropriately when we go unto him. Look at verse number 7. It says, "For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Your hand will find out all of your enemies. Your right hand will find out all those who hate you." There's two different ways to take these verses, and there's a little bit of confusion and somewhat of a debate as to whether or not these verses are being addressed directly to the Lord or they're talking about the king. And so while it's relatively uncertain as to which way that can be taken, I see this as being addressed specifically to the Lord. That's how I see the text. And so either way, if it's being addressed, this section, if it's being addressed to the Lord or to the king, it really doesn't matter, because we know that God operates through kings and through rulers in order to accomplish his sovereign will for humanity. But in verse number 8, we see the declaration that the hand of God will find his enemies. That word hand is a symbol. It's a symbol for action. In the parallel phrase, it says, not only is it the hand of God, but your right hand. Well, the hand refers to action. The right hand refers to power. So notice how the power of God will find out the enemies of God. So that verb to find here literally means to reach, to discover. And so thereby it informs us that no enemy of God is beyond the reach of God's action and power. You see, when the Lord captures his enemies, they will ultimately be the objects of his wrath. Verse 9 says it like this. It says, "You will make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will devour them." This judgment and triumph is complete, and that's indicated in verse number 10, where it says, "Their offspring you will destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men." And then in verse number 11, we see that those that seek to plot against God will never be successful. Verse 11 says, "Though they intended evil against you and devised a plot, they will not succeed." In fact, the psalmist graphically pictures this defeat in verse number 12. There it says, "For you will make them turn their back, and you will aim with your bowstrings at their faces." What a graphic picture illustrating the complete victory of God. But here in our text, we see a tragic duality that's at play. On one hand, there's this positive triumph of the King of Kings, and that is worthy to be celebrated and to be exalted. While at the same time, on the other hand, there's this negative effect of his enemies experiencing defeat and destruction. So as God's people are being saved, as God's people are being delivered, those who seek to attack them, those that seek to harm them, those that seek to work against the will and the plan of God, those are being destroyed. You cannot have one truth without experiencing the other. And as the wrath of God is poured out on all who do not belong to Him. And His wrath is not a form of irrational anger. No, the wrath of God is His moral and just judgment upon all the people who hate Him. It is His moral and just judgment against all who intend evil against God and the children of God. It is the moral and just judgment upon everyone who fails to submit and surrender their lives unto the Son of God. Quickly, look back at verse 7. There it says, "For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he will not be shaken." You see, David's confidence for the future was anchored in the fact that God had a divine purpose and plan for his life. He understood that. David understood that he had a purpose that was yet to be fully fulfilled in his life. And so he knew that God had a plan for him. He knew that he was on a mission sent by God, and he could trust his Lord to see him through whatever circumstance or situation that he faced. Because he was fully aware and fully embraced the purpose that God had placed upon him, which is an awesome time for us to pause and to consider the question, do you know your purpose? Think about that. Do you know the purpose that God has for you? Another way to ask that question, why are you here? Not just here in life, but why do you suppose that God has you here in this community? More specifically, why do you suppose that God has you here in this church? You see, what spiritual gift has God given unto you to be used for His glory and for the strengthening of His church? What is your gift? What is your calling? What is your purpose? Why are you here? You see, every child of God is a minister of the gospel. We've all been blessed with some spiritual gift, some spiritual ability that God gives each and every one of His children so that they might use that gift, exercise that gift for the sharing and the spreading of the gospel. And so God has assembled all of us together. It's not by accident that you're here. God has a specific purpose for you to fulfill. And the strength of the church will be found and will be greatly increased when all of the members of the church understand the purpose of their lives and are all in service to God in the church and in our community. So again, why are you here? What is the purpose that God has given unto you so that you might fulfill in our midst, so that we might be encouraged, that we might be built up, that we might be strengthened, and that He might receive all the glory, honor, and praise that's due unto Him. Let me wrap it up with verse number 13. Look at verse 13. And so what we've discovered in the midst of our victory is that we ought to rejoice in what God has done, right? We declare our trust and our confidence of future victories that lie ahead of us, and then we're ultimately to acknowledge that it is the power of God that is the source of our victory. We see that in verse number 13. It says, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power." You see, we should all stand back and give God the glory for all that he has done in our lives. Never taking the credit for the victories of our lives. Every good thing that we are, every good thing that we have, comes from him. From him, for him, by him, and through him. I think about the greatest gift, the greatest thing, salvation. We cannot save ourselves. Salvation is all by him. We cannot do anything on our own to keep ourselves saved. No. Left to our own, we'd be a mess. But we're kept by him. Every victory we have is a result of the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us and through us. David fought many battles. He experienced many victories. But he did so not to exalt himself, but in order to magnify the Lord. Notice that Psalm 20, it closes with the people and the king asking God to hear their prayers. Psalm 21 closes with the prayer that God would be lifted up on high, that he would be exalted. I mean, in your own life, surely you can look back and be reminded of the victories from the strength of God, right? We should always be looking in three directions, if you will, according to our text. We should be looking back. That's verses 1 through 7. Celebrating the previous victories that we've experienced in life. We should look ahead. That's verses 8 through 12. We look ahead, anticipating the victories that are in the future. And then we should look up. We look up to exalt the Lord and to sing his praises forever. For those of you that have been praying through the Psalms and are prepared for today's message, by using this resource, you would have been greatly encouraged this week. In this resource, let me just read a couple quick things for you. Isn't it critically important when God brings victory that we take time to stop, reflect, and respond in thanksgiving and praise? If we fail to do so, it becomes only too easy to take the credit for what God has brought in our lives. It goes on to say, it would have been easy for David to seek vengeance against those who sought to take his life, but he chooses the better way. What a great life lesson for us. Think about those who oppose you, who are against you. Instead of thinking poorly of them, entrust them to the Lord and his activity in their lives. What an opportunity to practice Jesus' teaching regarding our enemies. What is that teaching? To love them. To pray for them. To entrust them into God's hand. What a difference this would make in our own lives. I thought this morning as we about to transition in a time to respond to the Word of God, I want to encourage us to use the Word of God to help shape our prayer time together. And so we're going to pray in the fourfold direction that this resource has encouraged us to. Using the Word of God to pray, and we focus upward, downward, inward, and outward in those prayers. Allow me to help you accomplish this morning. Thinking about what we just walked through in Psalm 21, I want to encourage you to bow your heads and close your eyes and just where you are, to finish the statements. Our prayer begins by focusing upward. We identify and we celebrate God's attributes. And as we do that, how would you finish this statement? I rejoice in you, Lord, for giving me strength when... Perhaps finish this thought. Lord, I praise you for saving me from what? One more. Lord, thank you for the rich blessing of what? In our prayer, we seek to move from upward to downward, and downward means here we seek to surrender unto Him, His will and His way. And so, how would you complete this thought? I confess that I often struggle to trust you for what? I struggle to trust you for what? Lord, I repent. I repent for not rejoicing in your strength when I what? We move from upward to downward, and now we move inward. And here our request is to seek to align our hearts with the purpose of God. Lord, help me today to trust in your strength in order to what? In this next prayer, I want you to think specifically of someone of whom you are greatly concerned over their salvation. Thinking of that individual, the prayer would be, Lord, show the greatness of your salvation to... Who's that person? Show the greatness of your salvation to... So that... What? Go from upward, downward, inward, and now we're outward. Seeking encouragement and strength for the battle that lies ahead. Final one. Lord, be exalted in your strength through me today as I encounter what? Be exalted in your strength as I encounter. Oh, most gracious Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for mercy. And God, thank you for the great privilege that we have to gather together to praise you and to open your word and to be challenged by it. And God, I pray that we would do well to celebrate the victories in life, acknowledging that they all come from you. And God, help us to do better and to be better about praying specifically and praising you specifically. And so God, use this psalm to help strengthen our prayers. And God, in this time of response, I trust that the Spirit of God is moving among us. And Father, may the enemy that seeks to discourage or frustrate us, may he have no victory in this moment, Father. But God, may your people respond appropriately to your word today. Whatever that means, God, help us to leave here in the right relationship with you. God, we seek your will in this moment and for your glory to be praised. We offer this prayer. We lay it at the feet of our Savior. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.